Welcome to the Story Story Night podcast, where you hear true stories on a theme, recorded live on stage and without notes. I'm your host, Jessica Holmes. On November 29th, Story Story Night held a powerful, cathartic, and in the end, uplifting event on the theme, Living Without, Stories of Letting Go. Today, we present two stories from that night. Both explore the extremes of the human experience and the resilience of the human spirit. Featured storyteller Claudia Sarek first tells about losing her country of Bosnia to war, then gaining a whole new world.
Hi. Well, my life started changing probably some 13 years ago, 14 years ago, actually. Definitely started changing on May 2nd, 1993. I sat in a bus with my mom and my husband and my father. They took us to bus stop and we are heading to Germany. War in my country is already 1 year. I'm leaving Bosnia for 2-3 months until the time get better. That's what I have been told. That's what I have thought. That's gonna happen. On the border, I'm sitting in the bus staring through the window and thinking, my goodness, I'm just waiting the moment where I'm going to feel freedom again, where I'm going to not hear those shelling, bombing. Anyway, that moment came, we crossed the border, we came to Germany, to my mom's friend who was waiting for us, helped us to settle on the place. At that moment, I didn't realize when I was leaving country, when I was in that bus, when I was saying my bye to my father and my husband, that I'm leaving my country forever. In the Germany, I knew that I'm not going to stay forever there. I was hoping all the time, oh, well, this is going to last just like 2-3 months more. People are not that crazy. How we can do such of things? Oh, no, that's nonsense. I will be back. Well, 3 months after that, instead of me going back to country, my husband came after me. He came. He was leaving country, and he told me, there is no place for us. I wasn't sure what is he talking about. He had the nightmares. Some of the story he told me, some of the stories he didn't want to tell me, what he has experienced. And it was quite a difficult to think about it, what he told me, there is no place for us. Well, in meantime, his cousin who was in concentration camp, he was settled as a refugee in Chicago. He contacted us. And he said, hey guys, why don't you come here? And I said, okay, where is that here? He says, well, I'm in Chicago. And I said, oh no, I don't like Chicago. My husband was like, you don't like Chicago? And I said, it's a big city, I don't like big cities. Well, in the meantime, then his uncle, who was also in concentration camp and settled in Twin Falls, Idaho, he says, hey, guys, come here in Idaho. I said, Idaho, Idaho, where? He says, Idaho. And I said, okay, first of all, tell me on the map, where is that? And I said, how big is that town? He says, oh, no, it's not big town. It's Twin Falls. And I said, okay. So, we applied for the program, which at that time was a program for mixed marriages, which my husband and I, we are mixed marriage, considered by refugee status and recognized by UNESCO mixed marriage. You have to be recognized. So anyway, we came into the program, and then officer in Frankfurt, in consulate, asked so many questions. And he says, okay, Claudia, what's your nationality? And I'm looking at him, and shall I say or not? And I said, okay, I'm Croatian. He asked my husband, okay, Dragan, what's your nationality? He says, I'm Bosniak. And you are from where? From Mostar. He just closed the book. We knew what that was that mean, because the biggest fight in between two nationalities happened in between our two nationalities in our city. Well, me as a Croatian, married to Bosniak, my sister married to the Serb, my cousin have been killed by Bosniaks, my brother and father-in-law were in a concentration camp by Croatians, and my grandparents have been killed by Serbs. Who am I going to hate? Who am I? What? Where am I going to start? What is my life? I lost total identity. I was like, oh my goodness, what a mess. So, of course, it was not a place for us over there, because you have to be something, and we decided to not be anything. Well, I ended in Idaho. So it's not, I like it so far. So probably I wouldn't like still Chicago. Well, in meantime, we came to Twin Falls, Idaho. And his uncle, who lived there at the time, we landed in Sun Valley by mistake. They said it was foggy in Twin Falls. Okay. To me, Sun Valley means nothing. I just came and I said, okay, what is Sun Valley? They said, oh, there's so many celebrities have weekend houses. Or this is like ski resort, la, 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 and all that story. I'm like, wow, what impression, good landing. So I came to Twin Falls. I called my mom, hey, mom. I sat down. And then after that, my husband asked me in the meantime, why did you cry in an airplane? I will say, well, first of all, when I'm coming back to the Frankfurt airport, the huge jumbo jet, you just see IOM, which is International Organization for Migration, bags, and hundreds of people with the bags. Only civilians regular people in that airplane was first class. Everybody else was refugee from Bosnia. I was like, wow, I think this is the last place where I'm going to see so many Bosnians. So anyway, the airline company was Pakistan Airlines. But stewardess, they were so pretty. They had a hairstyle like a genie with that thing. They were really pretty, but outfit was not like genies. Okay, I sat next to the window. I saw the wings and huge patches. Probably they repaired the airplane before we took off. I was like, oh my goodness, am I going to survive this? Anyway, the airplane started rolling, taxiing on, and there's a big screen and a mosque on a screen. An imam, which is Islam priest, imam started to pray. I was like, oh gosh, if I need imam to pray for that flight, cool, my goodness, what's gonna happen? Well, somehow we survived over the Atlantic, and guess what? The last movie we watched on the airplane was Independence Day. Welcome to New York. I was like, oh great. That's getting even better. So, and my husband told me, well, why did you cry in an airplane when we were taking off? And I said, I didn't cry because I'm in a Pakistan Airlines. I'm not crying because I'm watching on a mosque. I'm crying because I realized then I'm leaving Europe. I'm leaving to America. I don't know, how do I feel? Do I feel happy? Do I feel sad? I feel empty. I don't have a clue. I'm feeling like I'm leaving my entire life someplace behind me. That's how I felt for a while. And especially when we, after a few days, I told my husband, please, let's go walk outside. People are not walking here. Is there anybody else on the street? Well, we took a walk outside, and there is one yellow Labrador walking after us for a couple of miles. And I said, what's wrong with this dog? He says, probably he realized people can walk. Well, still today, people in Twin Falls don't walk so much. But then after a few days, we got our studio apartment. I was happy. Okay, I'm going to be by myself. We got some donation things. And that was February 10th when we got to our studio and where we slept first time in the studio. Then on the February 12th was my birthday. And I was taking shower and my husband, he made a coffee and juice in a glasses. I brought my glasses from Germany. I was like, okay, I'm going to bring them with me if they survive, survive. So he put in the glasses juice and he put on the floor because we didn't have the coffee table. He put on the floor and as I was walking outside the restroom, he says, honey, happy birthday, and big smile. When he said happy birthday, I was like, oh, again. He says, what did I do? And I said, honey, you didn't do anything. And he was like, then why are you crying? And I said, look at me. I'm celebrating my birthday. Look at me. He says, okay, we'll get through this. Anyway, thanks goodness I started English classes because I didn't speak any English when I first came. I knew few words. Hi, bye, I love you, and few bad words. Guess what? That's the first thing you learn in a foreign language. Well, thanks goodness we started English classes, and I was preoccupied with other things, so I didn't have time to think about the people not walking or dogs are following us or whatever, my birthday. So anyway, he's another uncle who lived in Boise. He came to visit us, and he says, do you want to visit me? And we said, well, yeah, great. Take me out of here just someplace. So anyway, we came. We're in a car on the freeway approaching Micron, and as soon as around the Micron, I saw foothills, I saw buildings, and there is trees. I was like, honey, I don't know about you, but I'm moving here. He said, yep, I'm with you. So, in a month we have moved. And still we are here. In the meantime, life took, thanks goodness it's busy. Otherwise, I didn't have time to think much of the things that I have left behind me. And one thing that my family was really, really shocked. Actually, my father was more shocked than anybody else. When I first visited in Bosnia, it was probably 2000 or 2001, I'm not sure. And I'm sitting in the living room of my parents' house back in Bosnia, and we were talking about life and talking about so many things. And I said, oh my goodness, first thing when I come home, I have to do this and this. As soon as I said, when I come home, my father looked at me. He says, you come where? I looked at him. He could not recognize in my eyes that I said, home in Boise. And I said, I'm sorry, Daddy, but this what I see here, this is not my city. This is not my country. That I cannot live here. He says, why? And I said, you know what? You had your great deal of life living as you want. I was cut off in the middle of my flight. I felt like a bird who is taking off the nest, and somebody just smashed me in the middle of my taking off. I came back and I found another nest. I don't want that anybody now take my nest again. I have gone through that once in my life, and I'm never going to go through that again to call some other place home. He says, okay, I understand. For a while, he looked at me strange, and he said, well, when you come home, and I said, okay, let's change tone of the conversation. So I was trying to not tell any more when I come home, because he just cannot get it that I could call any other place home, because I'm the first one in 500 years of existence of our family and written document that exists our family. I'm the first one who left. And just he couldn't get that. So in my life, I was working in a refugee resettlement agency and helping other refugees to feel Boise like a home. And recently, I work for Idaho Commission for Blind, helping blind people start a business. And one person who is totally blind, he, in blind community, he is well known as a person who is quite a stubborn and standing for himself, pretty much. And he came one day and he says, okay, Claudia, let me ask you something. And I said, yeah. How can you work with us blind and talk in for our interests and help us so much if you don't understand us? And I said, yeah, Bill, I don't understand you. Thanks goodness. But I can relate to you. He says, what do you mean? Well, Bill, you had your vision one day. I had my life and my country one day. You lost that. I lost too. You are going through your life with assisted living and technology and all those things that helps you. And I had the people who have helped me and myself and attitude. He looked at me and he says, actually, I cannot believe you're saying that, Claudia, but when somebody sees you, they don't know that you're a refugee. And I said, yeah, Bill, but when somebody calls you on the phone, they don't know that you're blind. He says, you girl, shut my mouth. In the 30 years, didn't happen that somebody shut my mouth so hard. I was like, well, then it was about time. Since then, Bill and I, we are one of the best buddies. He recognized my effort, and he knows that I'm helping them because I can relate to them. And I respect his input when he tells me, or he tells me, hey, change something. I felt for a while anger. I felt lost. I have lost identity. I have lost everything. But after a while, I felt I know again who am I. I know again where I belong. I belong to the world. And everything, it's written here. This key change says, attitude is everything. Depends if you're looking your glass halfway empty or halfway full. I decided after a while, well, I'm tired of seeing my glass half empty. I'm going to look it half full. And there is attitude. Thank you.
Powerful, incredible stories happen to everyone. It's simply part of the human condition. So why not tell your story as a featured storyteller for an upcoming Story Night? It's easy to submit. Find all the details at storystorynight.org under the Featured Storytellers tab. If you miss a submission deadline, never fear. You can always drop your name in the Story Slam hat at the live event. Now, we hear from November's Story Slam winner, Claudia Nelson, as she shares a heart-wrenching story about the strengths of the human spirit and the aftershocks of living without. A word of caution, this story is graphic, so watch out for those little ears in the room.
If I'd had any idea I was going to do this, I would have curled my hair and put on a girdle. So this is an exercise in mashing my ego, which I really needed. Many of you are familiar with the story of the phoenix bird. It's a legendary bird that lives for 1,000 years and then builds his own funeral pyre and throws himself in the funeral pyre and burns to ashes and then rises again and lives again for 1,000 years. And I think that's really what we're talking about tonight. I went through an experience in my life where my old life died, and I didn't ever think I even wanted another one. It happened the Christmas of 1990. It was 3 days before Christmas. My sister had come from Texas, and she had a wonderful cabin east of Park City, Utah. We loved that cabin. We called it Tita's Tranquility. This particular year would be very, very different from the last. My sister was up there preparing for the family party, and I'm sitting at home, and I get a phone call. It's the Summit County Sheriff, and he sounds very, very upset. And he asked for my husband, and I'm thinking, well, my husband's a psychiatrist. Maybe one of his patients has gotten into trouble or something. That's what I wanted to believe, but inside, somehow, I felt that it was much more serious than that. And I watched my husband walk over, and he's usually in total control of everything. And I was watching his back, and all of a sudden I saw him go. And he didn't say a word, and he was an orator. He loved to talk. I knew something that was wrong. He turned around, and he said, "I have to go get the girls." And somehow I knew that I shouldn't ask questions. So he went towards the door and walked out. And my sister was up at that cabin. My mother was up to that cabin. My two nieces were up at that cabin. And after he walked out the door, I grabbed the hand of my nephew, and I said, "Sean, we've got to pray. Something is really, really wrong." So we went down to our knees, and we prayed. And we would learn, after he came back with these girls, that our prayers were answered for his father and for the girls, but for my mother and my sister, it was too late. They had been killed in a robbery right in front of my two nieces, who were then, well, I'm going to back up. My brother-in-law was then shot in the head twice, left for dead, and set on fire. And my nieces were then kidnapped to be sold for satanic worship, since one of the murderers was a Satan worshiper. That is an incident that I can't even tell you the shock. For 2 years, I felt like I was walking around in somebody else's cartoon, like life wasn't really real. And then everything in my life started to topple after that. It seemed like my marriage couldn't stand the pressure of it. Pretty soon, the whole foundation that I had built for my life, to live my life around, no longer made any sense. It wasn't big enough to hold the burdens that I was carrying. And I just could not believe that life could be so horrible. And I just wish somebody would stop the world and let me get off. I didn't want to be there anymore. I really didn't. Everyone I loved was gone. The ones that were left were fighting each other, and they were angry over the situation. Nobody could solve this problem. Well, over time, I finally realized, you know what? I have a choice here. I can allow this to totally destroy me, and I can become a victim of it, or I can become a victor over it. And it was that choice that made all the difference. And with that choice, I realized what had happened. I couldn't continue to look back on it because the more I felt about it, the worse it got. I had to decide what I wanted in my life and move forward with my life. It took time. It took time. But I would look out my window and I would see the trees and the fall. And I would watch the leaves fall off. They would turn color and fall off and fall to the ground. And I would look at those trees and I thought, those trees just let go of everything. They don't throw their arms around, their branches around themselves and say, oh, no, why does this have to happen to me every year? They just let go and surrender because they know that those leaves, they will drop and turn to compost, which will feed them the next year, and they will grow bigger and more beautiful. And that was an analogy from my life. And that's what I have found, that the phoenix has risen again to a new life. The old life is gone, but I now have a beautiful new life. I have written a book on writing from the ashes. It's been well accepted, and I will be starting to promote that from all the things that I learned from what I had to go through. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Story Night is brought to you by presenting partners the Boise State Story Initiative and The Cabin, venue partner The Linen Building, design partner Neighborhood All-Stars, and our broadcast partner Boise State Public Radio. Please donate now at radio.boisestate.edu. Our Story Slam theme is by Dan Costello. Hear more at hearcostello.com. Please join us next week for more powerful stories from Living Without, stories of letting go. Learn more at storystorynight.org.